university. Nobody's going to be paying attention because of the level of the propaganda success of this operation against Raul Reyes.
We have to leave it there, and I thank you all for being with us. Mario Murillo's book is called Colombia and the United States: War, Terrorism, and Destabilization. Helga Serrano joining us from Quito, Ecuador, and Professor Arlene Tickner joining us from Colombia, from Bogota. That does it for our show, Democracy Now!, produced by Mike Berkshire for Boca Deuce, Aaron Mata, Angela Kamichek, for Hagerman, Steve Martinez, Robbie Karen. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook. The time is just about 6 o'clock. Time, once again, for Off the Wall. And good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Manuel Goldstein here with you. We're going to have to talk extra fast tonight because there's just so much going on. Very busy night tonight, very historic occasions, and a lot of things to cover, a lot of ground to get over in the next 59 minutes or so. And I think we'll be taking phone calls, so jot down the number for future reference. Area code 631-632-WUSB, 631-632-9872. This, of course, being the historic March 4th. March 4th, how about that? It's the only date that's a command. Yeah, well, the country is going to March 4th in one way or another tonight because of the primaries taking place in various parts of the country. We'll be getting into that in just a moment or two. Let's just take a quick, all too quick look at what's going on in the world. A lot of stories have gotten short shrift. I like using that phrase, short shrift, because of all this primary nonsense going on. It's not really nonsense, but it's certainly taken all the headlines lately. I mean, you look at any particular web page or newspaper, and what's the front page going to be? It's going to be all about who said what, when, and who was seen where, at what particular time, and what it all meant when you added it all up together. And when you do that, certain stories never see the light of day. And sometimes that's wrong. Sometimes a pretty important story gets discarded. Like, for instance, yesterday. I just happened to see this yesterday as it was happening. You have the television on, you have the news channel on, and they break in. And this seems to happen every week, almost every day now. Breaking news. We have reports of a multiple shooting. Where is it this time? Is it a school? Is it a post office? Is it a kindergarten? A church, perhaps? A shopping mall? No, this time it was a Wendy's. Let me just very quickly, since we don't have much time either. We're doing the exact same thing, I know. Let me just very quickly go over what happened. A gunman in a jacket and tie. I don't know why that's relevant. Jacket and tie. Wordlessly opened fire inside a Wendy's during the lunchtime rush yesterday in West Palm Beach, Florida, killing a firefighter who had gone back to fetch the toy left out of his child's meal and wounding 5 others. And he then committed suicide. Yeah. Now, there's a whole big story about this if you look around on the internet, but wouldn't you know, yesterday evening, I looked at the CNN homepage, or the main page. It was not even there. It wasn't even there. doesn't rank anymore. These things are so common, people just randomly opening fire in various public settings, that it's not even news anymore. It's like a car accident. Yeah, so that's the society we're in now. That's the society we're living in, where random shootings, it's not even news. Been there, done that. You lost somebody, well, that's too bad, but, you know, you take your life in your own hands when you get into a car, when you fly on an airplane, and now when you walk around on the street. Maybe if more people were carrying guns, this would not be a problem. Yeah, right. You know, I would love to just have 5-minute conversations with people who believe that. Yeah, the solution to guns is more guns. Well, okay, there was, though, a competing story that happened yesterday as well, where 6 people were killed in Memphis, including 2 children. They were all shot in a home, and 3 other children were transported to Le Bonheur Children's Medical Center in extremely critical condition. And apparently this was some kind of murder-suicide thing going on there. That was yesterday. So you had that made the news. That maybe they have a limit. We can only have 1 shooting story a day. You know, there's only so much space on the internet. You can only have 1. You got to pick one. And Memphis won. All right, Memphis had 6, and I think West Palm Beach only had 3, including the gunman. Maybe it was 4. So yeah, it's a numbers game. And then over the last week or so, you had the story of an Air Force member killing his 2 children before killing himself in a military campus house at Tinker Air Force Base on Monday. Well, you can't get many more guns than on a military base, and they sure didn't help, did they? According to Oklahoma County Sheriff John Wetzel, a military member and his ex-wife were involved in an altercation just before 2:30 p.m. The ex-wife left the home and heard gunshots. Tactical teams arrived by about 2:40 p.m. Nearly 2 hours later, they gained entry into the home where they found 3 people dead, including 2 children ages 4 and 8. Maybe if the kids had guns, that wouldn't have happened. And what else? Yeah, I know. It's not the morbid hour here. I'm just trying to prove a point that this is happening so often now. So often. 5 people found dead, 3 of them children, in what appeared to be a murder-suicide in a home across the street from the Richard Nixon Library. That was actually last week. 14-year-old boy called 911 about 11 p.m. on Saturday to report that his father had shot him and his brother at their condominium. Police found the body of a woman on the doorstep. Inside, they found the bodies of a 5-year-old boy and 2 girls, ages 8 and 9. What's with all the unarmed toddlers that are allowing themselves to get shot like this? Come on, stick up for yourselves. Take a lesson from that Texas school where they taught you how to run and tackle an intruder into your classroom. And yeah, you know, take on some residual losses, some casualties will be expected, but you're saving the group, you know? It's all about the group or the class, whatever. Anyway, police did not immediately know the motive for the shootings or the relationship of the victims, etc., etc. Meanwhile, in Utah, the story goes that students are walking around carrying guns to classes, and this has been going on since the massacre at Virginia Tech. Days after another campus shooting at Northern Illinois University this year, students at colleges in Utah, the only state to allow weapons at all public universities, are attending classes, saying things like, "I feel I'll be able to protect myself. I'm confident in my training and my ability." Yeah, his confidence, though, is not shared by fellow students, one of whom said, "I feel less safe knowing that a stranger sitting beside me in class may have a gun in his or her backpack." And so it goes. That's where we stand in America today. How about a little bit of Darwinism? Yeah, this is always fun. I just love finding stories like this. This is from a town called Havistraw. Not have a straw, have a straw. I don't know what that means. A man fighting with his girlfriend clung to a car roof and punched her through the window as she drove more than a mile on a busy road, hitting several other cars. Now, you just got to pick one of them. Which one do you pick as the biggest loser? No. Both were hurt in the brawl. Is it really a brawl if it's only two people? Well, I guess. They were both hurt, and they were both arrested. The man, William Kramer, apparently jumped onto the car and held on as girlfriend Stacy Sperazza wove along Route 202 with the car's airbag inflated. She eventually stopped the car and then hit him with it. Oh, boy. Unbelievable. He was treated for a foot injury. She was treated for eye and head wounds. There were a variety of charges. Okay. All right. Tonight, of course, is the night we find out not necessarily. Tonight is the night we could find out what's going on with this whole Democratic primary business that's been going on since January. The race now between two people, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. And all eyes are focused on Texas and in Ohio, although there are actually primaries taking place in Rhode Island and Vermont, but not very many delegates. Now, if Barack Obama wins both Texas and Ohio, or actually either one, it's going to be very hard for Hillary Clinton to continue. Her own husband has said that she has to win both states or she's out of the race. Her own husband said this. I understand she really lashed into him after that. But basically, Barack Obama is ahead in the delegate count, even if you include the superdelegates. And since the Democratic system, as opposed to the Republican system, is not winner-take-all, simply winning a state by a slim margin is not going to be enough for her, because she won't gain that many delegates. I did some calculations. I did a few of them, actually. And it gets very complicated. It really gets very complicated. You have to look at all the different numbers and see where people stand and see what the possibilities are. If every single race from here till the end, and I think that's in June, I think the last one is, Montana? No, Puerto Rico is actually the last, but there are all these states that have not yet participated. Pennsylvania is the biggest. That's later next month. Now, if every single one of the races, including the ones tonight, ends 50-50, or very close to that, and keep in mind, Barack Obama has won, 10 in a row, 11 in a row, with some pretty big margins. Sometimes 80% or 70 or 60-40, one of the slimmer ones. But imagine everything from this point on is 50-50. At the end of all that, Barack Obama will still be ahead. 2019 to 1,918 delegates. Actually, nothing surprising there because 50-50 pretty much implies things stay the way they are now. Okay, so let's give Hillary Clinton a little bit of an edge here. Let's say that she wins 60% of every single race tonight. She wins 60% of Ohio, she wins 60% of Texas, she wins 60% of Rhode Island, and she wins 60% of Vermont, meaning that Obama gets only 40% of all of those states. Clearly not going to happen because those kinds of numbers simply do not happen. Not for Hillary Clinton, anyway. They have not been. Something incredible would have to occur for those numbers to be reality. Now, if that were the case, after tonight, she wins 60% of every single race tonight. After tonight, the delegate count would be 1,525 for Obama, 1,492 for Hillary Clinton. In other words, he would still be ahead after that incredible victory, surprise victory for Hillary Clinton in all four states. So, you see, the monumental amount of catching up she has to do, even winning 60% of every race tonight will not be enough. Now, if she were to win 60% of every single race from now until the end, yeah, then she'd be ahead. She'd be ahead by just under 100 delegates, 60% of every single race. What do you think the odds of that happening are? Okay, so I think the one that really drives it home, 55%. Let's say she wins 55% and Barack Obama wins 45% of every single race from now until the very end. she still will not have caught up. He'll be ahead by 10 delegates, with her winning every single race, 55 to 45. Now, if you count in the superdelegates, okay, then she nudges ahead. Then it's a little bit different. But not doing that. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. That's my telephone. Let me just turn that off. It's a busy night, and I left the phone on because I expected to get some important updates about the race, but instead, that wasn't important at all. Excuse the ring. I'm sorry. Where was I? Okay. I think those are all the numbers we really need. It gets really complicated after that. It's complicated enough as it is. But, she's got a monumental task ahead of her. A monumental task. All right, what we're going to do now, we're going to make a phone call. Actually, no, we have to go into delay first, right? We're legally required to go into delay. All right, so let's go into delay, and then we'll make a phone call to one of our correspondents. And of course, we'll be taking listener phone calls as well. It's for the listeners that we go into delay because, well... I'm sorry, that was a message from that call. Yes, it's the listeners that we go into delay for because we don't know who you are, and the FCC demands that we do that. So let's have a legal ID, and then what we're going to do is go into delay and take phone calls, make phone calls, things like that.
Hi, this is Georgia from Yola Tango. You're listening to WUSB.
And here we are in delay. Hopefully in delay, on this historic night. It's still an historic night. I'm just noticing all the things that are malfunctioning on the board, but all right, it does seem to be working for the most part. Okay, so March 4th, it is still March 4th, even though we're, I think, 7 seconds behind now. Where should we check in first? Why don't we check in to, can we first get a dial tone? Let's make sure the phone works. Does it work? Okay, it's a pulsating dial tone. I hear that. Let's get a solid dial tone. All right. Let's give a call to Ohio. How about that? All right. Check in one of our correspondents there.
Hello.
Up on the scene. Hey, is this Lurid in Ohio?
Yes, it is. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. Calling from WUSB Election Central Headquarters. Of course, you're our correspondent tonight on the spot in Ohio. Is that correct?
That sounds awesome. I didn't know I was quite the correspondent type, but I'll give it a shot.
Yeah. Now, I understand. First of all, I understand the weather in Ohio is crazy today. Now, either if you're in one part of the state, it's a nice storm. If you're in another part of the state, it's flooding. So, which is it for you?
Currently, it's closer to flooding than it is an ice storm.
I see. Now, do you think flooding will benefit Obama, or will flooding benefit Clinton?
It's hard to tell, really. I mean, honestly, though, a lot of people that I've talked to are in fact, staying in because of the weather. So.
Really?
Yeah, which, you know, I've been on the phone yelling at my friends all day to go, and I just finally, a few minutes ago, got one to go. So, you know, hopefully people will get out. I think, what do we got? About an hour left until the polls close. I believe they're open until 7:30.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know. Hopefully the weather, it's been getting better and better as the day's gone on. So hopefully, in the next 2 minutes it'll completely stop raining and everything will go and it'll be pretty and then everybody can go.
Well, yeah, I just was running down some numbers for the listeners as far as delegate counts and things like that. I estimated that even if Hillary Clinton were to win 55% of every single race from here until the end, she would not have enough without the help of the superdelegates. It seems like there's quite an uphill battle for her, although she is expected to win Ohio, I understand.
Not taking into account what the media said and things like that, but on my personal observations from, the people I know and just, looking around where I live, I live in Dayton, Ohio, and here, the general, wave of feeling here is for Hillary. She came, and I actually went and saw her speak at a high school called Wayne High School, which is in a suburb of Dayton, and it was it was pretty good. I mean, the turnout was ridiculous. They had three times as many people show up that could actually fit into it, into the gym. So, you know, a whole lot of people were turned away. And then about 2 days later, a high school called Stebbins High School, which is actually in Dayton, Bill Clinton came to speak on her behalf. And also Governor Ted Strickland has been, you know, campaigning for her, you know, all over the state. So, you know, if Hillary Clinton's up in Cleveland, you got Ted Strickland down in Cincinnati and Bill Clinton in Dayton. So, I mean, they're pretty much got everything on lockdown.
Wow. That's an interesting phrase. But Barack Obama, I guess, just has Barack Obama. He doesn't have other people going around speaking for him.
Right. Well, I don't know. I've of all of the phone calls that I've gotten, and I have gotten so many, it's insane. It's almost becoming a nuisance, to be honest with you. But really, I've gotten one phone call on behalf of Barack Obama, and I got on my door handle on the outside, somebody left a little flyer, you know, for Barack Obama, and I got one for Barack Obama in the mail as well. But other than that, I really haven't heard anything or got anything. To be honest, I'm completely unaware whether or not he even came to Dayton and spoke, which, you know, that would mean that obviously, you know, he's not getting out there like he needs to be doing here.
Well, I understand you were woken up this morning by Hillary Clinton. Is that true?
Oh, like 8:30 in the morning, I get a phone call, and I'm, you know, usually people don't call the house at 8:30 in the morning, so I'm expecting something terrible to have happened, you know, because we've had this biblical weather, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, figured somebody was hurt, car accident, horrible, horrible death and tragedy, and it was somebody calling on behalf of Hillary Clinton. I was like, oh, well, that's lovely. Thank you.
Well, be glad.
And then about 20 minutes later, I got another call. Twice in the 10 o'clock hour, I got phone calls. About half of them have been recorded messages, and the rest have actually been people. I went and voted at about 11 o'clock, and, you know, I've been getting calls all day. In fact, I got a call about 5 minutes before you called with somebody offering me a ride to the polls if I needed one. So,
well, why don't you take the ride and just go somewhere else because you already voted?
Yeah, I could have done that, but, you know, I had to wait here for this phone call.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's crazy.
Well, all these calls that you've gotten.
I've gotten a phone call at least one a day since, I'd say, mid-February, and it's pretty cool. I mean, they're doing a great job of getting out there. I mean, the Hillary Clinton campaign, anyway.
Well, how many calls today? All the calls you got today. What was the breakdown of who they were from?
Let's see. I got one call was a recording of Governor Ted Strickland. The rest of them, I got probably about five calls from live, you know, people, actual people talking to me. You know, just reminding me that today was election day and that Hillary Clinton really needs my vote.
Wait, they called you five times to tell you the same thing in one day?
Yeah, and, you know, and then generally the recordings, one of them was a recording of Hillary Clinton's voice. She was just explaining that, you know, I needed to vote for her because, you know, if I don't, the changes won't be made, you know, to America that need to be made. And, you know, and then the other recordings are generally people that live in the Ohio areas, really close to Dayton in the suburbs. It's really like they have recordings of people telling tragic stories about, you know, how they lost their jobs, you know.
I always wanted to know, how do you get to be one of those people that the candidates just happened to meet that morning, who hear these horrible stories about how someone lost their health insurance and three limbs and all sorts of tragic, you know, mind-bending stories like that. At what point do you get to walk up to them and start relating your life to them?
What, you mean how do you become that person
yes.
I hear on the other end of the phone?
No. I would like to be the person that they make reference to during their speeches, saying, I just met this housewife from Toledo,
yes.
And you know, how do they do this? Because you can't get near these people.
Well, no, they have these luncheons. They had last week, Hillary Clinton had one with retired teachers. I know that my grandmother actually went to it, and, you know, I haven't really talked to her about it yet, but, you know, it's as far as I know, she was there.
Uh-huh.
So, you
so
know,
she could have been one of those people.
Probably, like, high uh-huh. security. But, yeah, I mean, and they do this all over the place. And, I mean, you have to be invited, of course, but, you know, that's, I'm pretty sure that's how they get involved and get, you know, to meet the people, you know, up close and personal like that.
You know, Lurid, as far as just thinking, you know, the devious mind of a hacker here, wouldn't it have been the greatest thing to do to somehow program those machines to make the phone calls at 3 in the morning, exactly when Hillary Clinton said that she'd be up to answer the phone? Maybe she'd be up to make the calls as well, you know?
Oh, that would have really angered me if I'd have got a call at about 3 o'clock in the morning.
I think it would have affected her chances quite a bit.
I would be a bit livid. However, that would be hysterical.
Did you see that commercial though, where the kid is sleeping and the phone's ringing? Who do you want to answer the phone at 3 a.m. when something's happening in the world?
No, I've not seen that.
Well, that maybe it's just a Texas thing, but that raised a whole big hue and cry about you know, fear mongering, making people think that the country will not be safe if Barack Obama is in the White House because he won't answer the phone at 3 a.m. Nonsense like that. First of all, when did it become an issue that 3 a.m. was out of bounds? I mean, you know, I answer the phone at 3 a.m. all the time, and I have the feeling Barack Obama is going to be up until 3 a.m. no matter what. That whole thing just struck me as being really kind of limiting.
I don't know. Maybe 3 o'clock in the morning to the the middle working class American. You know, maybe that's their bedtime. I don't know.
You know, it's also
mean,
she's like
everybody in the world sleeping. Then I know I'm not.
She's all dressed up.
I'm always
in
awake at 3 o'clock in the morning.
She's wearing a business suit.
But God, also, there's something I wanted to bring up.
These phones are just no good for radio stations because there's no way you can talk back and forth. I'm sorry. I don't mean to go off on the phone system here, but it just is so bad for radio. It used to be. Remember this, Lurid? You were able to talk on the telephone and you could talk back and forth like you're talking in real life.
Right.
Instead, though, if you're talking and I talk over you, you can't hear me because of this nice digital stupid phone system.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But, you
I
know,
just
the
apologize.
Times, they are changing.
I apologize to the listeners. I apologize to you. I apologize to everybody for my outburst, but it had to be said.
Yeah, that's right. You better apologize.
All right. All right, so what were you saying?
I was saying that this morning there was some breaking news about this. You know, it made a real stir here in Ohio. Hillary Clinton and her cronies, your people, put out this commercial against Barack Obama, saying that they have documentation somehow that he told the Canadians that he had no intentions of changing NAFTA, and that the only reason he was saying it and campaigning about what he was, you know, about that, saying he was going to change NAFTA, was just, I can't even remember the political quote now, or the quote that he said. It was, I don't even remember now, but he said that it was just to make everybody vote for him, essentially.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that was the big deal. And, you know, they aired that commercial for the first time at like 5:30 this morning during all the news and all that stuff. So
I didn't understand.
You know, obviously, yeah. Barack Obama would have no time to respond to it.
I didn't understand the whole point. I mean, yeah, okay, so he spoke to some. Isn't this kind of a feather in his cap that he actually is speaking to people in foreign countries and is in tune with them enough where he'd actually be having some kind of a conversation?
I mean, yeah, no, that's cool and all, but however, if it is true that he told them that, I mean, come on, that's...
How would they know what he told them? That's what I don't get.
I have no idea, but they did say in this commercial that he had documentation. Now, I didn't actually hear this commercial. My father told me about it when he got home today, and, you know, that's where I'm getting it from, but I mean, you know, my dad's not the kind of person just to make up political commercials just for fun, so... apparently, the Clinton campaign has documentation. They somehow dug up dirt that
I haven't seen the documentation. What I have seen is a statement by the Canadian government saying, backing up what Barack Obama said.
I have no idea.
So I'd love to see the documentation, but it seems... it really seems like a silly thing if you're running for president and the primary is that week to go out of your way to talk to people to assure them that you're lying to the American people.
I agree.
And making it so that it's something that your opponent can get their hands on. It just seems so out of left field.
I agree with you entirely on that one, but you know, I'm just reporting mm-hmm. to what I heard.
Right.
So, you know, and then, I don't know, it's just, it's been really crazy around here, I will say. I mean, you know, when I didn't even know that Bill Clinton was coming, you know, and I was looking out the window, and I noticed there was a lot of traffic, and, you know, I live back in a Platte where, you know, there's not generally traffic from anybody other than the people that live here or somebody who's getting lost and turning around in the cul-de-sac.
Right.
However, there was a lot of cars, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. So anyway, I ended up having to go somewhere, and you know, hopped in the car, and I'm going down the road to the gas station. I see lights, like cop lights, you know, and everywhere there was tons of them. I was like, oh, my gosh, what happened? Did somebody rob the McDonald's? Oh, no. And I walk in, and I still, you know, it's really dark outside, so I couldn't see that there was, you know, a large amount of people at the high school. But I go into the gas station, you know, and there's people, the woman that was working at the gas station's like, oh, are you going to see Bill Clinton? I'm like, what? It's like, you're going to see Bill? I'm like, Bill, what are you talking about? And they're like, yeah, he's across the street right now. I'm like, oh, wow. You know, and it was crazy. It was complete chaos from about 5:00 p.m. until well after midnight. They had the road closed. It was pretty crazy. And that's generally, I mean, how it's been everywhere. Every time you turn on the radio, every time you turn on the TV, it's you know, something about the campaign, and you know, it's crazy.
Well, I mean,
I know that you know, voting has been an issue. A lot of people are trying to get registered and trying to find out where, you know, where they're supposed to go to vote. I know that my girlfriend had no idea. She had on her driver's license has her parents' house still as her address. However, she's living up in this little town somewhere, and she registered in the little town. So we had gone to my polling location today, and she asked them, you know, she assumed that wherever she registered is where she'd have to vote. And then they told her, no, you have to go where it is on your ID. And, you know, it was all confusing, and, you know, they didn't notify her, you know, ahead of time. I got a notification, however, which was really interesting because, well, let's see, you want me to go ahead and read this, this little thing I got here in the mail?
Go ahead, definitely.
Okay. And I don't exactly understand it entirely, but, you know, and because, like I said, we tried to get her to vote at my polling location, but they wouldn't let her. So I'll just go ahead and read this. It says, special notice. Voters must bring identification to the polls in order to verify identity. Identification may include a current and valid photo identification, a military identification that shows the voter's name and current address, or a copy of a current utility bill, bank statement, government check, paycheck, or other government document other than this reminder.
Hang on. You said a utility bill was enough to prove your identity?
Yes, a current, not just any utility bill, a current utility bill. Get it right.
Oh, a current utility bill. But, I mean, I've got utility bills coming in all different names. I mean, you know, I'm not up to anything, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, I have the same thing, too.
It's not
hard to do. I've lived in other places.
Right.
I've got, you know, I stay at my parents' house sometimes in Dayton, and I have a place up north where I actually live, and I have mail that goes to... we don't actually have mail service, you know, at that place that we live, so we have our mail sent to my girlfriend's grandparents' house in a complete different city. So, I mean, you know, same thing. I have utility bills, electric bills, you know, going to all kinds of addresses.
Right.
So, yeah.
So you're saying if I was an Ohioan and I just waltzed in there with a utility bill with a name and an address on it, that would be enough?
Apparently. Now, hold on, let me continue this here. This is, that's not it. Let me see where I was.
If I only knew this before the primary.
Okay, so it's a other government document other than this reminder or a voter registration notification that shows the voter's name and current address. Voters who do not provide one of these documents will still be able to vote by providing the last four digits of the voter's social security number.
Oh, come on. You got to be kidding me.
No, I'm not. I swear that I am reading this off of this, this super official Montgomery County Board of Elections piece of cardboard. I swear.
I have the last four digits of your social security number. I can vote as you.
Yes. Yeah, you can. Now hold on. There's more. I promise.
I don't know
more.
If I can take any more. Okay, go ahead.
okay, let me see where I was here. Providing the last four digits of the voter's social security number and by casting a provisional ballot, which I don't exactly know, you know, what a provisional ballot really is. But anyway, I'm going to continue here. Voters who do not have any of the above forms of identification, including a social security number, will still be able to vote by signing an affirmation swearing to the voter's identity under penalty of election falsification and by casting a provisional ballot.
Oh, well, if you swear, I guess it's got to be right.
Yeah, if you put your right hand up and I put my hand on the Bible, that is just, I can vote. If I walk in and I put my hand on a Bible and say, I am Emmanuel Goldstein, I'm here to vote, I am you, and I'm voting, and they're not even going to question it.
It just seems fantastically simple to thwart their system. Do me a favor, hold on to that piece of paper. I really want to see a copy of it.
Okay.
Keep it in like a safe place in case they deny all knowledge of it.
Yeah,
wow,
I put it in a safety deposit box.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. Listen, Lurie, we're going to have to move on to Texas, but any closing thoughts, predictions, things like that about how it's going to go there in Ohio?
As far as I've seen, you know, Hillary Clinton is she's going to take it. You know, I just worry about the weather. You know, maybe people that want Barack Obama to be our next president will be more motivated to get out there in the tragic weather than Hillary Clinton. So it might be the other way around. I don't know. But, however, the weather here has most definitely, you know, thwarted most people's attempts to vote today, and you know, that's really unfortunate.
But, it could definitely have an effect, no question about that.
So, anyway, thank you for having me on, and I hope that, you know, it was helpful.
It definitely was. Gave us a perspective. So, Lurie, you're saying that Ohio is going to go for Clinton, and we're marking that down in our official poll. Of course, I don't know if you realize this, but last week I called the entire thing for Obama. In fact, have you seen any reaction to that that statement last week of us pretty much saying he's the winner?
No.
No? All right.
No, I'm sorry that... you didn't.
All right. Well, I mean, we just did the calculation with numbers and things like that, and we realized it was just too much of an uphill battle for her to come from behind. But
right.
You're saying
no, and I agree. I mean, you can't argue with numbers.
All right. So you've pretty much said that she's won Ohio, so we've got that down, and we're going to see what we get out of Texas, and we'll have more numbers as the night goes on.
All right. Well, just keep in mind, you know, as you're marking me down saying that Hillary has it, I say that Hillary might have it, in my opinion.
Oh, I wrote that in pen. There's no erasers. So it's official. But thanks, Lurie, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, thanks.
Take care. That's our correspondent, Lurie, there in Dayton, Ohio, giving us an update on the primary out there. And, you know, I think he's a Clinton supporter. I just got that. But that's okay. That's perfectly okay. It takes all kinds in this world. And, you know, I got to say, and I don't mind being somewhat slanted in one way, I just think Obama is more where we should be heading. Not necessarily because of his being completely different in any particular meaningful way on policies, but as I think I mentioned the first time I talked about this year, just the perception, just the fact that we're getting somebody young, somebody articulate, somebody who's racially mixed, somebody who was not a millionaire from birth. I guess, was Hillary Clinton a millionaire? I don't know. This kind of thing is just, it means something to the rest of the world. It means something. It's just a complete radical transformation. Case in point, okay? I see Barack Obama as somebody who might have similar tastes to people that I hang out with. And that certainly could not be said of any president in the past. And that's got to mean something. You know, right now, my favorite television show is The Wire. And, in fact, it's ending next week. It's ending for all time next week. So sad about that. But I have the feeling that of all the presidential candidates, this guy is probably the only one who could appreciate that program. And that means something to me. Whereas, you know, this might sound silly, but look at George W. Bush. And I'm sure his favorite program is Gunsmoke or something ridiculous like that. Something so out of touch. Something so fantasy land. So, yeah, you know, these little points of reference, they do mean something. If you can communicate with somebody, realize that they have the same perspective on various issues, that they're aware of things, that they open their mind to different elements of culture, that has to be reflected in the kinds of policy, the kind of decisions they make. I like to think so anyway. I also, this week, and I'm really surprised this is not being plastered every place. You see the quote from McCain? He was in Texas, and he said that, I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but I heard it. I heard him say it, and then I looked up the quote, and I could only find it in one place. And this, you just put this quote on every single Democratic poster that comes out between now and November. I think that's all you need. The quote is basically that two of the greatest presidents in our nation's history came from Texas, and they were both named Bush. Now, unless there was another President Bush in the 1800s, which I don't think there is, he's referring to George Herbert Walker Bush, you remember the first one, and George W. Bush, the current one, as one of the greatest presidents of all time in our country. How can anybody say that? How can anybody with any semblance of reality say that? Let alone having Gunsmoke be your favorite program. Okay, fine, I can forgive that. But this? No, I'm sorry. You don't get a free pass on that. And why this isn't being focused on as evidence that somebody simply is not playing with a full deck or just simply has no sense of reality whatsoever, it's beyond me. I don't see this in the news. And I'll get the audio for that quote somehow. But wow, yeah. And the reason this concerns me so much is because I saw a poll that actually suggested McCain could beat Obama or Clinton. And, you know, if that were to happen, I don't think I could stay here. I don't think I could survive in this place because I would be so completely out of my element. How any country, how anyone, any person, after 8 years of what we've been through, could elect for more of it. I mean, 2004 was enough of a shock, but to do it now, whew, that would just not be right. Okay, we're going to give a call to our correspondent in Texas. Let's get another dial tone. Got a dial tone now? Okay. Yeah, we have correspondents everywhere. You didn't know that? Yeah. We're well connected. Now we'll find out how the election's going out there in Texas. Who are we speaking to here?
Howdy.
Hello. Hang on. You are Scram of Texas, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, great. You're our correspondent for tonight from Texas. Welcome to the program. How you doing? And also, I understand, I'm told from my notes here, that you are also the layout artist for 2600 Magazine.
Yes, I am.
Oh, it's good to meet you. And tonight also is deadline night, so I don't want to keep you for too long.
That is true.
Everything happens at once. Now, you are in Austin, Texas, is that correct?
Yes.
Austin, Texas. And
the bearable place in Texas.
The only bearable place. I've often said that. I've said that Austin is an oasis. I think everybody in Austin says that as well. But now, all eyes are focused on your state, and of course on Ohio as well, pretty much ignoring Vermont and Rhode Island. What has been your perception so far of how, has there been a lot of campaigning in your area?
Not until the last couple of days. Recently, I mean, of course, there's been a lot of signs out, but really just a big boom in the last couple of days, mostly, of course, Hillary and Obama. But I've seen much more Obama campaign material than Hillary.
Has Hillary Clinton called your house?
She hasn't.
She has not. Okay, because we just spoke with Lurid in Ohio, and he said that Hillary Clinton woke him up 8:30 in the morning. Actually, I think one of her people woke him up, but her voice has also called many times to his phone, and that's that would disturb me. And I don't think you can stop it either. You can stop telemarketers, but I don't think you can stop political people from calling you.
Right. I haven't gotten any from Obama or Clinton or any other candidate for the presidency, but I have gotten some local judges calling me. But those have been recordings, too.
So. Uh-huh. Still, it must make you kind of fearful when a judge calls you at your home to demand that you vote for him. Lurid has called the election in Ohio for Clinton. Do you want to make any kind of a prediction for Texas?
I'm going to go ahead and say it's going to go the Obama way.
Really? Okay. Now, what do you have to back that up?
I didn't think you were going to ask that.
Well, of course, that's my job. I'd have to ask why. I can't just say that Obama's going to win. I mean, have you seen the people you've talked to, the people you you see in your everyday life? What have they been saying?
Certainly the people that I've seen and talked to have been overwhelmingly for Obama. There's also been many more signs that just today I was driving through my neighborhood, and except for a couple big McCain signs, mostly Obama material out there.
Uh-huh. Are people actually going out to vote for McCain? I mean, what's the point?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Huckabee really has much of a shot anymore. Now, you also were telling people earlier, telling our screeners who set this whole interview up, that you were escorting a family member to vote and convincing them to vote. Is that correct?
Yes, I was almost late to be on the show, but thankfully things worked out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we decided at last minute that every vote counted. So.
Uh-huh. And do you think that vote went for McCain, Huckabee, Obama, or Clinton?
Obama.
Okay. I mean, I don't want to violate the sanctity of the voting booth or anything like that.
Of course not.
Kind of curious.
I'm not sure if I am now either. But,
has there been the debate was that last week or was 2 weeks ago, the debate in Austin? Last week was Ohio. That's right. 2 weeks ago, the debate was in Austin, your town. I guess everyone has a buzz about this over there, right? Or are they simply ignoring it?
It was on campus, the big University of Texas at Austin campus, and I haven't been down there recently, so I didn't really see much happening. But definitely, some people at school and around town have certainly been talking about it. But it hasn't been as big a deal as I thought.
Uh huh. Now you're not yet old enough to vote, so that must be frustrating.
That is correct. Yeah, it's very frustrating.
Yeah, and I imagine people in your school also are frustrated by this. If people in your school could vote, how do you think it would go?
Well, a lot of people, I mean, I think about a fifth, maybe, of people at my school can vote, or maybe less. But, and I've seen people carrying around signs and shirts, and I think it's definitely going Obama, partially for my school's demographics, but also we want change.
Uh-huh. And just personally, you think Obama is able to do that better than Clinton?
Yeah, certainly with the youth.
Uh-huh.
In particular.
Yeah. Is it just because of all the people who feel empowered by his presence, or is it from something he's actually able to do?
I think it's mostly the presence, but I think that people realize that he does have, with his large following, he will be able to get things done as well.
Uh-huh. Now, we were talking earlier about the campaign ad, the phone call at 3 o'clock in the morning. Have you seen that ad? Has that aired in Texas?
I haven't seen
that. I'm wondering where that aired, because Lurie didn't see it in Ohio either. Of course, maybe the two of you just don't watch that much television. But are there any kind of campaign ads that did stand out?
No, I haven't seen any ads, to be honest.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, you're lucky then. All right, well, anything else that that you wish to add? Any kind of... you went to a polling place today, I imagine, when you escorted the family member.
My high school was a... polling place, and so was this place near my house.
Was it a polling place while school was in session?
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So you were able to see people coming in to vote?
Yes, I did.
So, theoretically, high school students could have perhaps shouted the name of a candidate that they would like the people coming in to vote for, and there wouldn't be anything that could be done about that.
Certainly.
Well, I guess maybe our nation's youth does have a voice, after all, if they choose to use it.
Right. I don't remember this happening last year for... primaries, or I mean, not last year, but and there was primary. So I think it's actually good that they're picking high schools now for voting places more and more.
Were there a lot of people coming in?
Yeah, from the neighborhood, yeah, but also students had a convenient place to just vote during the school day. So that was good.
Yeah, definitely. And I understand Texas is an open primary. That means that you can be a Republican, independent, and you can vote in whichever primary you choose, correct?
That sounds right. It's very confusing.
It's especially confusing because you guys are the only state that has a primary followed by a caucus. I mean, do you have any conception of how that works? Because I sure don't.
No, to be honest.
The only thing I get out of it is that you vote in a primary as normal, which I've never done because I'm independent and I'm not allowed to vote in New York because we have closed primaries. But after you vote in the primary of your choice, then that evening you go to a caucus, and apparently you argue with people and get them to vote in a particular way. And caucuses, as a rule, have generally gone Obama's way, which is a very interesting point. But it's the only state that does that. It has both primaries and caucuses in the same day.
Right. They call it the Texas two-step down here.
Yeah, I heard Hillary say that a few times.
What?
I heard Hillary say that a few times. It was pretty annoying.
I think that's some kind of country dance or something, too.
We did some calculations before, and basically, as you know, as I'm sure the people of Texas know by now, here at Off the Wall and WUSB last week, we called the nomination for Obama. We said that Obama had it locked up. First of all, have you seen much of a reaction to that prediction?
Surprisingly, I haven't.
Huh. Interesting. That's funny because Lura didn't see any reaction to it either in Dayton. I'm just, I guess people must be living in a vacuum out there, not paying attention to what's going on in the major media. But some of the numbers that we crunched tonight pretty much told us that Hillary has a really uphill battle. If she were to win every single state from here until the very end, sometime in June, if she were to win by a margin of 55% to 45%, do you know she still would not catch up with the delegate count? Without the help of superdelegates, she would not catch up. Isn't that something?
Yeah, that's promising.
Yes, I think you're revealing yourself as an Obama supporter. If you, if she were to win every single race today, Texas, Ohio, Rhode Island, Vermont, 60% to 40%, which would be really phenomenal for her and very unrealistic, I think. If she were to do that, she still would be behind by over 30 delegates.
Wow.
And that's not insignificant. If everything remains 50-50, obviously the delegate count is going to be pretty much the same until the end.
Right.
I don't see how she can pull this off without something dramatic happening today. Do you see something dramatic happening in Texas?
Not in Texas. I'm not sure what the situation is in Ohio other than Lurid's statements, but no, it looks like Texas is going Obama.
Okay, you've just called Texas for Obama, so...
I have.
We have Texas for Obama, we have Ohio for Clinton. And maybe we can ask a couple of our listeners to call in from Rhode Island and Vermont to tell us what they predict for there, and we can add those numbers in. Scram, I want to thank you very much for joining us tonight and giving us the Texas spin on things, I guess.
Certainly.
And you have to get back to the issue now and finish for this evening.
Right.
All right. Well, I'm sure we'll be having updates in the future. Thanks, sir, for joining us on this historic day.
Yes.
All right. Take care. And that's Scram joining us from Texas. So we've had reports tonight from Texas and from Ohio. And as you can see, the race is still interesting. It's been the most fascinating race I can remember in a long, long time. Fascinating insofar as just close and some interesting discussions. Our phone number is 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. If you have any comments at all on the race as it stands right now, on who is good, who is bad, please give us a call. We only have about 3 or 4 minutes, so be sure to make those phones ring. There's been so much talk lately about experience, you know, and this annoys me. Not to bash Hillary Clinton too much, but it just annoys me when she counts the time that she was married to Bill Clinton as governmental experience. You know, when you're the wife of the president, okay, you know, I'm sure you get to see a lot of, you know, simplex code combinations for doors that the average person wouldn't see, and you might overhear some conversations and things like that, but as far as actual working experience, other than being the equivalent of a goodwill ambassador, no, you know, you're not governing the people. Senatorial experience, yes, that does count, and she's got a few years on Barack Obama for that. But, I mean, look, you ride a train every day into New York City, you're a commuter, okay? I don't think after 10 years of doing that, that you're qualified to drive the train. I really don't. Okay, you know what, because he can't ever get into the locomotive. Fair enough. But, all right, so you're riding a bus. I still don't think you're capable of driving the bus if you were riding that every day in full view of the driver. Okay? I mean, I hear the cases occasionally where somebody saves the bus, a driver has a heart attack, and some passenger jumps in and hits the brakes. Okay, Hillary Clinton could probably do that. She could jump in and save things based on the knowledge that she saw when she was looking over Bill's shoulder in the White House. I'm not sure what the equivalent situation would be, but the point is, that's not experience. That's not experience. It's not really a fair argument. So I think judgment is a big part of that. All right. What, nobody wants to call in? We don't want to talk about this. It's incredible. Long Island is so sad sometimes. Whole world, you know, it could be an invasion from outer space. And people will be, you know, I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about the Mets instead. Yeah. All right, well, don't say I didn't open up the phone lines, because people say you don't open up the phone lines enough, and here they are, they're open, and listen to this. Yeah, they're empty. 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. Maybe I'm confusing you by saying 631. If you're in Suffolk County, you don't have to dial 631. It's as simple as that. All right, we have a call. Let's take a call. Good evening, you're on Off the Wall.
Hi,
how you doing? Where are you calling from?
Lake Grove,
great, local listener, wonderful. What's on your mind?
I consider you a very intelligent, worldly person.
But, there's going to be a but coming.
Yes.
All right, let's hear it.
But, how do you think that there's an election anymore?
How do I think there's an election? I'm not sure what you're asking.
Like, after the stolen election, the Diebold,
uh-huh.
Black, disenfranchised black voters, Ohio,
right.
All of that, like, I don't believe it exists. Can you rationalize your belief in existence?
Well, I see a lot of the people who were disenfranchised in 2004 with the Ohio debacle, I see a lot of them showing a whole lot of enthusiasm, thinking that their vote is actually going to count this time. Now, okay, I can remain fatalistic and say the whole system is rigged and the same people are going to be in the same smoke-filled rooms making policy no matter what, but I think that enthusiasm that we're seeing now from people like you and me, people in the streets, people from disadvantaged neighborhoods, I think that enthusiasm has got to count for something. And whether or not it translates into a good leader or a better leader or anything like that, I think it's that spirit, that's a good thing. And right now, that's what I'm focusing on, is seeing people enthusiastic, seeing people getting involved. And no matter what happens in the end, that can't be wrong.
That's not wrong. I've lost it, though. I just don't believe. I believe that the person is already chosen. It's done. It's just a show because, you know, we're told we live in democracy, so we have to mm-hmm. have a democracy show.
Uh-huh. Well, I got to say, our system is pretty wacky. Our system is pretty wacky as far as how, I mean, no one's asking for my vote. You know, I'm not going to be able to vote until November. How do you think I feel about that? I don't get any say in any of this until November, when it's already pretty much decided between two people. That's always been the case. And even then, you've got that Electoral College nonsense where popular vote doesn't really matter. It's all the Electoral College. So, yeah, our system is definitely broken. But I just see what's happening today as interesting, potentially exciting, potentially changing. It's a step. It's a small step, but it is a step.
Seems like a smoke and mirrors to me. Unfortunately, I just don't believe it anymore. And
well,
I think it'll be McCain because it has to be a player to continue the policies that are in place, and they don't want to dismantle the or they don't want to build up what he's taken 8 years to break down.
Yeah.
I would say it the other way, but it doesn't work that way.
That would be something. That would be shocking. But let's just close on this thought. Surely anything has got to be better than the last 8 years, right? All right. So at least we can agree on that. Thanks so much for calling.
Bye.
All right. And so we've heard from Ohio, Texas, and now Lake Grove. And unfortunately, folks, that's it. We don't have any more time. Unfortunately, also, I started the music in the wrong channel, so you're going to hear the music coming up at an inopportune time. I'm sorry about that. I'm going to go out of delay.
Really? I'm sorry.
It never happened. All right. Never happened. That's it for the show tonight. Next week, it should be interesting. Next week, we should have more of an answer as to what's going on. We'll check in. All right. Emmanuel Goldstein for Off the Wall. Write to us, otw@2600.com. Have a good night.
Packing my bags, time is a drag. Smell myself to make sure I'm still there. I'm alone
Say
in
goodbye.
The park with the saber too sharp.
Cry.
And every pretty
friend.
Girl that broke
See
my
again.
Heart receiving miles, broken dials. Who's gonna meet their match this time? The makers at home, smoking a bone. I'm on my own, I'm on my own. These nightmares, nightmares with a repeating cast of characters. I don't wanna talk when my thoughts are true. I hate myself when I think like you. Cause it's over, it's ancient. It's so old, it's
3,000 miles.
It's ancient, it's so old. Let's call the whole thing
goodbye.
Let's call the whole thing
goodbye. I'll cry, old friend. See you again. Say goodbye. I won't cry, old friend. I'll